The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome in, hour two of Old School, 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. I'm Austin Norman. This is Old School, like I said, brought to you by Mercado. I'm in studio with DP, but let's bring him in, Hall of Famer Jay Foreman. Jay, what's good? How you doing?
Hey, good afternoon, my octoroons.
Homie, home site, sizzle.
Hey, that's for hey. You know how it is. Sometimes you got to be like that, man. How you guys doing?
Oh, we've had the time. I asked a trivia question of who the first draft pick was for the Pittsburgh Steelers in history, and we got a name that it turns out that their very first draft pick was a fullback from Notre Dame named William Shakespeare.
Ooh, I mean that's pretty dang good, man. When you think about it,
Dame's finest, William Shakespeare.
Well, I don't think the name fits Pittsburgh, but the name fits being the first pick, you know, for an NFL draft pick. But
I followed that up, Jay, and I think you get the answer to. I think you'll get this one. Who was the since they're playing? We're going through teams. Who were playing in the wild card weekend. We started with Tampa, and a lot of people didn't know the Dewey and Louie Selman brothers, and I had to explain that. But then it came down to who was the first pick, and not for the Baltimore Colts, but for the Baltimore Ravens. And I said it's one Ever? Of your favorite dudes to talk about.
Well, that's Jonathan Ogden, right?
Yes, sir. That's okay, why we yeah, that's why yeah, he's but... the Hall of Famer.
Right, it was it was Jonathan. And then they got Ray Lewis like on a humbug, right?
Yep.
Yeah, yep. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
That's when the legend of Ozzie Newsome expanded. Was that he pulled that off?
Well, you can retire. You can retire when you go 2 for 2 in first ballot Hall of Famers.
Hey, man.
Yeah, I don't need to do anything. Yeah, you know, it's rather you rather draft them two versus like Tony Mandridge and Mike Mamula.
Woo wee. Hey, but
you
know, I'm a swing and a miss.
You know, to be honest with you, when you everybody's quick to label guys a bust, and I think I only view guys as being a bust if you actually don't. There's guys that don't try. You know, I think with Tony Mandridge, it was unrealistic expectations because you had the likes of Jonathan Ogden coming behind him, where people were wondering if he was going to be able to handle NFL speed. And then I think then you had guys like Mike Mamula, who I think it was a system, you know, where they didn't let him just do what he did best. And then also, I think when guys get injured, I don't ever put a bust on guys when they get injured. I think the guys, if you look at, and it's hard to even say like a Jamarcus Russell, because I mean, the effort definitely was not there. Look, when you go from 240 to 280, I think when you look at yourself every day and you start to escalate on the scale, I think that's more of a choice. But when you know the Raiders organization at that point in time was like attend practice, you know, when you see fit and you don't have any veteran leadership, you know, is that the best situation for him, even though that they drafted him because he could throw the ball 70 yards from his knees and, you know, they only started, what, 8 games ever in his whole career. Yep. So was he really truly number one pick overall worthy? And then also, let's not forget, Al Davis would pick you number one and then not want to pay you, which is the weirdest thing. Like, you know exactly what you have to do, and he's the only guy holding out when he should be the first guy signed, so you don't see that anymore. So, yeah, Jonathan Ogden, man, that was a big dude, man. That was a big brother, man. And you want to hear a funny story about Jonathan Ogden? We've had one of my best friends from the NFL. His name is Troy Evans, and he's been on. He was a Super Bowl champion with the New Orleans Saints. And when I got traded to Houston, he was there. We didn't even have lockers. DP, you know, living in Houston. Yep. When the Texans were first there, we used to, our weight room was at the basement of the Astrodome, which was, you know, you would see some, you'd see some critters down there. But you know, and so we were all over the place, and Troy was there, and Troy was mainly a special teams player, but he's a great dude, man. And tough as nails, played at University of Cincinnati, had a chip on his shoulder because, you know, Ohio State didn't think he was good enough. So I'll never forget this, man. We're playing the Ravens. And, you know, when you play the Ravens, you got to be ready to play. You know, that's the AFC North. It's a white-knuckle game. So Troy's playing on special teams and punt team, and I'm on punt team as well. And they kind of did a punt return. It wasn't a called, like reverse field punt. Just happened to return it, reverse field. Troy got peeled back on and got hit. And he didn't get hit hard because he just bounced right back up. He said that Jonathan Ogden looked, you know, when he looked up, there was Jonathan Ogden. Jonathan Ogden was like, "You got knocked, you know what, the hell out." And he's like, "But you got up though, so you pretty tough." And Troy told me that after the game, I was dying. It's because looking up at any player after you get, you know, crackback blocked on is one thing. Another thing is when he's about 7 feet tall and about 320 pounds and one of the best guys of all time. So. But Jonathan Ogden was a good dude, man, and still is a good dude. My mom lives in Vegas, so the few times that I get to go down and see her, it just seems by chance I always see him in the airport. And the most unassuming dude that would throw you at the club. I mean, I think he's got like 3 or 4 kids, and the last time I saw him, you know, it was an early flight. You know, he was going somewhere and I was going somewhere, so I just said what's up and, you know, kept it moving. But, you know, he had one on the shoulder pushing the stroller, so he's definitely – you know, in the family life and the dad life.
Jay, let me ask you this, because this is like a perfect situation. If there's a Mount Rushmore for left tackles, Ogden's on it. Munoz is on it.
Yeah.
Who's the other two?
Well, I mean, it's all relative based on the era, but you know, Walter Jones was a dude who doesn't get a lot of credit because of, you know, playing in Seattle. I mean, he was, I mean, ridiculous. He might've been the best athlete for a big dude like that. Harley, you know, so Walter Jones, Orlando Pace, you know, I think those two, I just mentioned previous, I would put a little bit, you know, ahead of him, but that's, you know, that's just, you know, those are franchise left tackles. And then you think of the guys like, you know, even like, you know, Ron Yeary was a dude that played with my dad, and those type of guys that played back then. Willie Rofe was a outstanding. Big right. Willie was a crazy athlete and stupid good. So, you know, back then, and there's some guys now that, I mean, Joe Thomas was just a dancing bear, just kind of, you know, long and lean. Never, I don't think hardly ever gave up a sack. You got him. You're thinking of guys of that era, and Joe Thomas came in right when I was kind of, you know, on the way out. You know, there were some great ones out there, and they definitely held it down. They took it as a honor of shutting you down. And the majority of those guys did. I mean, you think of a guy like Richmond Webb, who Ooh. Played forever, who had, you know, I remember Bruce Smith always talking about getting ready. First of all, you know, I know we got playoffs coming up, and I know Raph is going to be upset at, you know, we knock off, you know, the Broncos up there in Buffalo. But when you play against teams like Denver or like in my case, when we used to play the Dolphins, it's a different type of work week, DP. And the thing is, it's a different type of work week in the sense of, you know, it's more intense. It's more of a college, you know, atmosphere like when we used to play Colorado. And Bruce Smith against Richmond Webb, if you know, people that listen on the ticket and on the text line, if you just get bored, you know, whether you're on the porcelain throne, just Google Bruce Smith against Richmond Webb. they used to go at it. I mean, I was talking about go at it and get the best out of each other, but a ton of respect. And so he's a guy, when you think about left tackle, I think he went to a Texas school. I don't think he went to Texas, University of Texas, but I know I think he went to either A&M or somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, he played for like 15, 16 years, dude.
So Jay, let's reset the Mount Rushmore. There's nobody on there. But I want to add to it a couple of names that we haven't even mentioned, right? That Trent Williams deserves.
Oh yeah. I mean, I was just going off who I saw.
Art Shell.
Oh yeah.
Who belongs to In my mind, yeah, they did add Walter Jones. They had him at six. Munoz.
Yeah.
Orlando Pace.
For sure. Archer, Jackie Slater,
Lomas,
those guys.
Lomas Brown, Jackie Slater. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to play against those guys, obviously. So I was just going off guys that I saw in action. But let me tell you something, man. That brother Trent Williams. I'll just say it. He gets a couple more years of playing like he's the best of all time. Yeah. That's a bad dude, man. And you know what? A lot of times, DP, and you know this, a lot of times those big dudes don't play with attitude. My man is straight gangster with it. I mean, and he's an excellent basketball player, and he is mean, and he plays with the type of attitude that you need, and he's probably at least the guys that I've been able to see, you know, when I kind of could see what it looks like, he's the best of all time. And that's a great, at least for me, a great thing that I'm saying about him, because I've seen some great dudes. I mean, heck, I played against, Tony Boselli, before he, had the injuries, that just kind of derailed his career. So that's a great accomplishment for him. How good
and
he is.
I do want to say that one, you identify who you play against, but there's a left tackle that played against the greatest defensive player to ever live, and it changed the way football was played and how it was drafted. But if we don't start giving Joe Jacoby,
oh yeah, for sure, yeah.
If we don't start giving Jacoby flowers, shame on us all, because
right.
to make running the football sexy. Right. Yeah. In the day of the past happy days of the NFL, Joe Jacoby had to man up on LT. And even in the battle, yeah, they brought Donnie Warren to help, but he changed. I mean, Blindside, the movie, doesn't exist without what happened.
Yeah, Joe Jacoby was a dude. And I didn't get to play against him, obviously, but I got to watch him all the time because when I was a little kid, growing up, in Frederick, Maryland, we used to always watch, when the Redskins at the time would have inter-squad scrimmage during training camp. I used to look forward to it against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
So I used to see Joe Jacoby. And what people don't understand now, they got, NFL Network and all that stuff, and it's obviously on the internet all the time. But back in, Frederick, they would take the shows off. So they would take the soap operas or whatever they my grandma used to watch them, and they would have to read, what happened. They would play that live on the main channels.
Right? It was a Latrobe or what was it?
Yeah, it was a Latrobe. But they would play it though. They would show the scrimmage. They would show the practices. So it was pretty special. And sometimes I think my dad fights this a little bit as well. Since we're talking on it, we'll dive into the game tonight. It's like sometimes you can be a really really great player on some great teams and you can get overlooked, which is crazy when you think about Joe Jacoby and you look at my dad, Chuck Foreman, both of them should, obviously be in the Hall of Fame. You think about a Steve Jordan, who had a great influence on me in the young part of my life. He has, if you look at his numbers, there's not a big difference between, the time that he played and a Shannon Sharp and their the way that they were producing versus him when you weren't passing the ball at the rate, even when Shannon Sharp and those guys were. So, the Hall of Fame process and the guys that are kind of, I wouldn't say, turn nose of it, but I think it realistically, you got to understand it. You don't get a name of the Hogs that's still popular, even though they're the Commanders now, without all five of those guys being, Hall of Fame worthy, but more importantly, made a big athletic left tackle that, made it, like you said, sexy, but then also it was like not the norm. You know what I'm saying? It was he could do both, and you know, hopefully, like a lot of other players, they get their just due here, you know, in due time, while they can enjoy it, you know. Which
it was interesting times. I mean, Russ was the only member of the Hogs who got in the Hall of Fame. Bosco didn't get in. Rallo didn't get in. But also, remember, they went and got Jim Lachey after.
Right, after Joe Jacoby, and they had Mark May, and they had the McKenzie brother. I mean, then you I think you had Mark Schlereff, who was just a guy.
Yeah.
That ended up parlaying to playing in Denver forever.
Yep.
Let alone some of the other guys. And that's where, you know, where, you know, look, man, you never want to say, you know, one guy makes it because they go and like coach or something, but you think you're like, you know, Russ Grimm getting in, but you know, he goes and he's a great offensive line coach with the, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers. So you're, you know, the Pittsburgh Steeler, this is one thing I'll say, and I found this out, is the Pittsburgh Steeler writers and in his writers, not just one.
Yeah.
They hold a lot of weight. So once you become part of their family, you get in. And then obviously you think of like, you know, Mike Munchak, he gets in, you know, and stuff like that. So Joe Jacoby is just kind of just living his life. You know, and so you need some more guys to kind of get the guys that deserve to be in, because you don't want it to be a thing like Mick Tinglehoff a few years ago. And then he passed away shortly afterwards. That's, you know, if you can get in year whatever he got in, I'm sure he could have got in 2 or 3 years prior, because his playing career was his playing career long before that.
Yep. I mean, it.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Joe Montana here. In my football days, I knew the importance of a strong defense. Now I'm sharing how you can help defend your health against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease. Are you 50 or older like me? The CDC now recommends vaccination against pneumococcal disease. Even if you're healthy, your age puts you at increased risk and over 6 times greater risk of hospitalization with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50. Schedule your appointment today at vaxassist.com.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
It's beautiful stuff to go back in, but that's why we're old school. We can go back.
Yeah, well, you're there. We're getting old. Yeah, I mean, which is a little bit. I would say, you know, I like to say I'm aging gracefully, even though it seems like it's going a lot faster. But I'm gonna tell you this, DP, and I will never, ever, in my life, pick Penn State to do anything but besides let me down ever again in my life. I'm just being dead serious, man. And I'm not. And you can't blame James Franklin. You know, because
although they're trying. They're trying.
And it's look, man, to be honest with you, I felt like he coached a good, great game. You know, I think he did the things and eliminated a lot of the things they, you know, could have been successful to like, you know, special teams and stuff like that. You know, whoever, you know, Drew Aller, you know, look, I think he is who he is. And for him, I mean, for him, when you think about it, sometimes you can think about the end game before you get there. And sometimes I think these guys that come in with a lot of this hype, right? He's a big, strong, good-looking quarterback, can throw without any pads on, and gets out there in the lights. And, I mean, bro, like, you can't throw a stop route, not one. You know, this is when I knew he was in trouble. I think it was a third down, a crucial one where you can extend the drive. He threw it to their itty bitty little slot receiver that was going up against a safety, and he had Warren one on one against Notre Dame's itty bitty corner. So you throw it to the big guy when you need big yards, especially when the body, you don't need separation when you got a 6'7" Rob Gronkowski type tight end going against a slot corner. You know, it's a process of elimination or doing the easy things. And so Penn State is kick punching. That was their chance. And it probably hurts a little bit more because they extended their season to get to the point, and they probably feel like they let one go away. But you got to give Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame a lot of credit. They looked dead in the water going into halftime. That field goal helped them out. But I think it's the coach, and I think I said this, you know, either a day or two ago, you know, Marcus Freeman's, the Deion Sanders and all that stuff, the Eddie Georges and all these guys that are, you know, getting involved in the coach, Warren Sapp, that you're able to speak another language. And for a coach to go in there, look, DP, you know this. They didn't change a whole bunch of plays. They did not. They changed their mentality. And when you can speak the language and you know these guys and you're invested in them, that's what happens. And they were able to pull it out and they had a little bit more staying power and a little bit of luck. But then also you make your own luck, make some plays. And, you know, one thing I'll say one about them is the pass interference, again, the triple coverage, that's probably a little suspect, right? Mm-hmm. But they kept competing. And when they looked like they could have, you know, been dead in the water, they made a play and then they finished it out when they got another chance. So full 60 minutes is sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah, that's why I was real specific about, you know what, it's just going to be that kind of game, you know, a slap fight. And they were going to go through with the last person that could slap would win it. Well, I mean, you go back and forth, right?
Yeah. Well, they're very fitting. It's down in Miami, and you know where the slap fights actually started.
Right.
Like the Tootsies or whatever it was called, right?
Like, yeah. It just set up. And then my thing for Aller was this, that in a critical moment, would he try to do too much rather than doing the base thing? And listen, if you go back and watch that replay of the final interception, he has, in basic read, he has two wide open outlets. If he just takes the layup in a non-critical down, this wasn't fourth down, he could throw this one away, but he had two open wins directly in front of him to the pressure if he just simply chooses that. But no, it looked like he had made his decision to do the tough thing instead of, like, let me make this play right here that is a play instead of making the smart play, which was take an 8-yard throw wide open to either of his outlets. That's he's 8 yards and you get to load up again and it's still your ball. And you go back and watch the play, Jay. I'm literally looking at the top half of the screen and I'm going, go, if you feel pressure, throw the pressure. Like, that's the rule. And if you tell me that, it's sitting right in an open window and both of those outlets were open.
Yeah, there's not a reason to do it. I know he said he was trying to throw it in the ground. Bro, first of all, physics is not gonna allow you to do that. To look left, hold the ball, throw it back right with enough control, and you haven't been able to hit the broadside of a barn all night. Don't try to do something that you don't need to do. It just sometimes in big moments in you know, quarterback position affects the game, and you need somebody that has to have a steady head, just like a coach. You know, if you would have called a bad play there, you're like, you know, pressure, it affects everybody. And so he's got to sit on that and try to figure out a way to bounce back from it. They should be bringing in a lot of competition for him. Because he's got to work through it, and it's a lot of scar damage in that program from that. Because majority of the time, being in when they had divisions, you got to beat Michigan and Ohio State, and so it was always set up for you to not have a chance to get to the Big Ten championship. Well, things set up well for you, and then you still didn't do it, even after you lost two games, and the last one that you lost prior to last night was in the Big Ten championship. So, you know, a lot to deal with. There's a lot of pressure, and you get to these games and it gets down to, you know, one or two plays. It definitely separates the guys that, can operate under those type of circumstances. And it's not easy, but, at that position and in the way he's been at, you'd like to think that he would have, lived to fight another day. And, those are some of the things that if I'm a quarterback just watching that game, I'm looking at that play, like you described it. But I'm looking at the reason or the why his game was like that all game long, because I think you can learn more out of those 3 3/4 quarters of the game versus just focusing on the low hanging fruit. And so if I'm the quarterback for Ohio State and Texas, I'm glad actually I got to play on Friday because I got to see, some of the mistakes that possibly could, rear its ugly head. For me, here later on tonight. And so I would like to think that the quarterback battle tonight would be a little bit more cleaner and the game will be a lot more explosive. But also that doesn't mean that it wasn't a good football game last night. I think it was highly competitive, just very disappointing to win a game like that or lose a game like that. But Notre Dame, they get to do something that nobody expected them to do. And with the coach, they never expected to be in a national title game. You got to think, Brian Kelly pretty much said Notre Dame didn't give him a chance to be a champion. And Marcus Freeman, in very short time, I think 3 years essentially, got him right on the doorstep. And so, you know, we'll see what happens here another week or so.
And a year ago, or going into the season, there was a large faction of people who wanted him fired.
Right. Well, that I'm sure they were. There's guys that were, you know, on national networks that probably wanted him fired. And I'm sure there's alumni that wanted him fired. And so I'm sure that they're all eating crow. But it's going down because Notre Dame's a wine drinking, very expensive wine drinking alumnus. And they're patiently waiting to see who, wins the night between Texas and Ohio State. And, you know, I think Ohio State should win. You know, I think they're the better team. And sometimes that's a little bit, you know, those are harder. You know, you got to play with a chip on your shoulder. But, you know, Texas has the ability to start fast. And I think, one of the things you have to do when you're on a mission, you have to make sure that you focus and you are going out there and playing together. And all the things that you've done the first couple games, you just got to continue to do it, because you know that eventually, if you play up to your capabilities, Texas will break. And so once you get to that point, you guys just got to make sure you break them. And and finish out the job.
It is interesting that, again, with Penn State being out, that the Big Ten now has a different concern, not having a team in the championship.
Yeah, if you got two, the odds are you're at least gonna get one. So, Notre Dame's more of a Big Ten team. I mean, whether they hold now.
And here's the thing: the Big Ten and the SEC have that issue tonight, because one of those conferences is going to be a lot of crow tonight and tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I guess it's the first one, first 12-team playoff, and possibly, you know, SEC is not there. But I will say, I mean, if Ohio State should win, I would also say that the Big Ten probably had a better year, top to bottom, you know. So they would, if anybody deserves, I would say a conference to get in, it'd be the Big Ten. But that's why they play the games.
Heimbaum is for literally, he's rubbing the middle of his scalp right now.
Who is?
Paul Feinbaum. Feinbaum, oh,
he's not even watching.
If Texas loses, he will have no hair tomorrow.
Is it a good offseason or a bad offseason for Paul Feinbaum if the SEC loses?
Both.
It's both, but then also he gets to turn the heat up on DeBoer because, you know, they're going to try to make it that he's a, you know, two and out type of coach. If he doesn't turn that program around and get it to where it's looking a little bit a better representation between Nick Saban and his type of coaching style or in his type of production, definitely has to be on the forefront here, you know, starting in, you know, right now and obviously through spring and fall ball.
Tough deal all the way around.
Yeah. I mean, look, man, the coaching profession is no joke. You're highly compensated. There's no days off. And so, you know, the best of the best will survive, but they just got to, I mean, the things that have bit, you know, Alabama this year are all controllable. And we've heard that before, right? It's probably talked about it 10 times over. You know, showing up on time for Bama to meetings, you know, doing the things you're supposed to do. Those are all controllable, because it's not a talent thing. It's more or less, you know, doing the things that got you to the point where you're national prominence. And as much as they hated Jalen Milroe, and he probably, you know, got a little bit over his skis where, you know, you saw it where he was filming an NIL commercial before the game. They also realized that he's won a lot of games for him and quite frankly, got him into the national college football playoffs, not this year, but last year. So he's going to be missed as well, along with a couple first-round picks on defense and on offense.
No SEC in the championship game.
Is that who you pick? You picking Ohio State?
Well, that I had to stay true to it.
Yeah.
Right. But either way, one of those conferences has some explaining to do.
Yeah. Well, they, you know, it was a foregone conclusion they were going to break off, but now they got broke off into the playoffs. So, you know, I'm gonna pick. You know, I know we got to go, but I'm gonna pick Ohio State. I think they're probably they're playing the best. And I think they have a little bit more left in the tank. I think Texas' offense is not as good as it was last year. Obviously, when you got to lose a first-round pick and a couple guys on defense, so I'm going to pick Ohio State to be able to outlast them. But I think it's probably going to be the more exciting game. You know, it's going to be in the mid-30s, low-40s, and, you know, score two winner for Ohio State. So I'm thinking it's going to be I think it's going to be 38-27. That's what I'm going to get.
Not close. Not close. Two scores.
But you know, but you know how that could be, DP. You could be there, then you it's kick. Wrong. You know, you, yeah. Right? Yeah. It. You know, is it whatever the painting looks like or the score definitely doesn't mean what you know how you painted the picture. But I think they're going to pull away at the end.
Jay says 38-27, but he hates Texas enough. He actually means 83-27.
Give it up.
Hey, listen, I hate Notre Dame. What a passion. I've hated Notre Dame. Well, first of all, it was a family that you didn't. I didn't get any food unless I started hating Notre Dame. So then I hated Notre Dame, and I hated they won last night, and I hate James Franklin too. And the hate is too. I just strongly dislike. And I don't like either one of the teams, but if his team's going to get in, I want to see a Big Ten team get in. And it's definitely horns down all day long, every day.
There it is. All right, Jay. What are you guys calling tonight? What are you doing?
It's Southeast against Southwest. So it's the old wine and cheese against the Porsche driving or the Porsches. In the Maybach drive over there. I shouldn't be playing. I shouldn't be saying that about people. You know what I'm saying? It's the former rich kids against the wealthy kids over there, I guess. They got two good basketball teams. A lot of the kids I know, you know, Southwest is playing good and Southeast has been on a heater last couple of years, making the state tournament. And you got two of the best kids in the state. Mikey Ogoye, whose brother plays at Iowa State, plays football. And you got Jackson Cruz and you got Sanders twins as well. And then you got a couple other players for Lincoln Southeast. So, you know, we'll see. And should be a battle. It's always jam-packed and an exciting call. Plus, all these kids know each other. And they've grown up playing with or against each other probably ever since they've been in third or fourth grade. So it's going to be a little – let's see if it gets a little chippy tonight like it had last year.
Call starts what time?
7:15 tip-off. So we'll probably start at about 7, a little pregame in with myself and Nick. And, you know, it'll be a jam-packed house. We got to get over there probably in the next 20, 30 minutes because of the amount of people that attend these games.
Get on over there, Jay. Look forward to the call here on the ticket later on.
All right, man. See you guys next week.
There he is, the Hall of Famer, Jay Foreman. It's going to be a busy Friday in Lincoln. So we'll go to break. Austin Norman and I will take you home when we come back to the ticket.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.